Everybody would come back to their seats and please stand and join us in singing How Great Is Our God after having a great fellowship break, albeit short. We'll continue in worship and praising the Lord through song and teaching and preaching of the Word.
Good morning. Welcome to SME Sunday. I had a great time spending time with all the kids and all the sponsors, and there are many messages that I preach, but I thought this one in particular would be very helpful. So often in camps, people learn one thing on the mountains, and it's like as the altitude changes, their memory forgets the lesson, and this is one of the messages that I thought would be extremely helpful for you parents in particular to measure the impact that the teaching had on the kids. And that is the message, and the title of it is Children Obey Your Parents. I'll have a tip jar in the back, by the way, after this service. But again, yeah, it's one of those things where this world, in its deception, has instructed many kids to rebel against their parents, to see them as useless. And the Word of God has contrary instruction. So this is a good reminder to the students who came as well as other students here, but also for the parents where you will realize just how much authority you have been given to guide and instruct your kids. So hopefully this will be edifying. So my apologies if it's repetitive. It is the same message after all, but I trust you'll be blessed again. So let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for this opportunity to preach your word and the opportunity to talk about just parents and just the incredible role that they've had in our lives. I pray that you'll help me preach with special clarity and love and compassion and kindness. And Lord, that we'll all walk away with just a greater appreciation for your order in the universe and the authority you established with our parents. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, when I was in junior high, one of the most popular songs of the day was entitled, "You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party" by the Beastie Boys. Anybody remember that? All right, there you go, yeah. Junior high dances, that's what they always played. And it's a very moving and touching song. I'm not sure if you ever picked that up. And I just want to share with you some of the sentimental lyrics that I found, I'll see if I can make it through this without crying. You wake up late for school, man, you don't want to go. You ask your mom, please, but she still says no. You miss two classes and no homework, but your teacher preaches class like you're some kind of jerk. And then the chorus, you got to fight for the right to party. Now, other moving lyrics include, your pop caught you smoking and he said, no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day. Don't step out of this house if that's the clothes you're going to wear. I'll kick you out of my home if you don't cut that hair. Your mom busted in and said, what's that noise? Aw, mom, you're jealous. It's just the Beastie Boys. Now, that song, looking back, I thought it was one of the greatest songs in the world when I was in junior high. But a lot has changed in my life. For instance, I graduated from junior high, and then high school and college and other things, and I also became a father of four children. And I realize how insidious and destructive that song is. I'm a parent myself, and when I was a teenager, I was instructed by MTV, television, the radio, teenage movies like Pump Up the Volume was a real big one when I was in high school, that had an overarching message that your parents are antiquated, they're irrelevant, they're unloving, ununderstanding, stupid, spoil sports who want to ruin your good time. Your parents, to use a short phrase, are a curse. And during that phase in my life, I wanted more than anything to escape my parents' rule. I confided in my friends, but did not trust my parents. I did not see my parents as someone I wanted to spend the weekend with. We go on family vacation, and I couldn't wait to get back home so I can be with people I enjoy. And when I look back at my disposition towards my parents, it is abundantly clear to me that I was not saved, that I was a pagan. I did not know the Lord. I listened to music, TV, movies, etc., but did not listen to the Word of God. And in fact, in all those TV programs and all those movies I watched and all the music I listened to and all the books that I read, I never heard a single insinuation that you should actually revere and honor and respect your parents. That was not the message. And so in light of that, I realize I have a tall order in front of me. I am up against all media that is poisoning the minds of the young people. The music, the movies, the magazines, etc., you name it, are all anti-establishment and anti-parents. And that's a travesty. Because I could speak from experience that my parents, in particular, have been a blessing to my life. They are a gift from God to extend my years and to help me to live well. Now, some of you might love your parents. You clearly see that they are a blessing, but others might hate them. You had a falling out. There was an argument that you couldn't bury in the past, etc. And I suspect that the world is truly trying to fester those memories in your mind. They want to undermine that because Satan wants to rob you of God's blessing for your life. And so what I want to do today is I want to examine God's will for your relationship with your parents so that you'll see them as a blessing and not a curse. And to do this, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It reads as follows. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And from this passage, we'll get three commands. One, you must obey your parents, verse 1. Two, you must honor your parents, verses 2a. And three, you must see your parents as a blessing, verses 2b and 3. Now, to understand the significance of this command, it's really important that we go back into the background and the context of Paul's letter. Paul was wanting the Ephesian church to be united. Unity is one of the prevalent themes throughout this letter. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we read, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having it put to death the enmity." Now, what Christ did is he actually brought two disparate groups, Jews and Gentiles, together in one body, the church. He also reconciled God to man, man to God. And so we have peace with God, and we should have peace with other Christians. That is why in verses 4 through 6, we read, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God the Father of all, who is over all and through all and all." Christians should be characterized by peace and unity. We have peace with God, we should have peace with other Christians. And as we turn the corner into chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul gets very specific in the type of peace he wants in the family unit. He wants peace between husbands and wives, and to help facilitate that, he gives roles. The husbands are to love their wives, and the wives are to submit to their husbands. In the workplace, he calls upon slaves to submit to their masters, and the masters to be gracious masters themselves. And then with children, he calls upon children to obey their parents. And this does not imply that children are inferior in value to their parents, or wives are inferior in value to their husbands, or slaves are inferior to value to their masters, but he has this whole underlying theme of the Trinity within this passage, that the Father is the head and the Son submits to the Father. We learn that the Holy Spirit submits to the Son and the Father as well. So just because there is a call to submit doesn't mean that God values you any less. Rather, it's his intended order so that he might bless all of his creation. God is a God who wants to protect your relationship with your parents. And so in verse 1, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now this is interesting. This is our first point. You must obey your parents. But notice the first word here. He calls out children. He singles children out. They're sitting in a church service much like this, and they are beckoned by their name, children. Now, when we think of children, basically what he's talking about is any individual who is in a dependent relationship upon their parents. For instance, do you pay rent? Do you pay for your own health care? Do you pay for your own groceries? Do you pay for your medical expenses? And if the answer is no, and your parents pay for them all, you would safely fall into the category of a child. You're in a dependent relationship upon your parents. And so if that describes you, there's a very special instruction, admonition, command that God is giving to all of you children. Now, we live in a day and age where where children are not recognized as responsible agents, right? You guys can't vote for our leadership. If, let's say, you robbed a bank, where would you go? You wouldn't go to Leavenworth, would you? You wouldn't be thrown in with all those other adult criminals. You go into juvenile hall. And so often we are tempted, or you are tempted as children, to say, well, these commands don't really apply to me. You know, God basically gives me commands as an adult, but I'm not a responsible agent. But that is not the case here. He's singling you out as children to do the following. You are to obey your parents. You are to obey your mother and your father in the Lord. Now, this term obey is very crucial because that is the centerpiece of this command. And you do a survey of some of the scriptures, and we observe some of the following. In Mark 1:27, the crowds were amazed at Jesus, and they said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus walks up to a demon-possessed man and says, "Get out of there, spirit leaves." They had to obey him. In Mark 4:41, "Then they became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Jesus does not like the weather. He says, "Quiet down now," and it's still. Ephesians 6:5, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ." Slaves are to obey what their master says. So just as the demons are to obey our Lord, just as the elements of nature are to obey Jesus Christ, just as slaves are to obey their masters, children, you are to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, why is this? Well, there are some bad reasons for this. In the Far East, it is taught to children that if you're not a good boy, or if you're not a good son, or not a good daughter, your ancestors or your dead parents will come back and torment you. Right? Kind of spooky, huh? Bill Cosby used to say, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Basically, the threat of fear. And in these situations, the reason for submission is based off of what your parents can do to you. I know in our household, my sweet son, who's often disobedient, will stand, and I will instruct him about why he is about to get the whacker. And it seems like what he hears is, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." Because all I see him doing is just looking up at the whacker, seeing if I'm reaching for it or not. And I know that at some point in time, that won't last forever. When he was 1.5, he actually took ballpoint pens and would just snap them in half. He would take a plastic coat hanger and then snap it in half. And I thought, you know what? If he doesn't learn to obey for the right reason, he'll be snapping me in half because I won't be able to use my physical strength anymore to discipline him. There has to be a reason beyond threat of harm, threat of a spanking, that should cause children to want to obey their parents. And that is given here in the Bible. You are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? This is right. This is right. Now, Julia, my other daughter, she is a one who analyzes all the rules of the house and has various arguments. She is a lawyer in training, and she has informed us at one point in time that she has decided not to obey us because she is to obey the Lord. And, you know, we just said, "Well, you're right, Julia, I guess." What we're doing, you're giving you commands, right? No, we took her to this verse. We said, "What does the Lord want you to do, Julia?" "Obey your parents." So when you obey your parents, who else are you obeying? The Lord. And that's right. When you obey your parents, you're also obeying the Lord. Now, you are to only do this within certain parameters, only in the sense that it is honoring to the Lord, that this phrase, "in the Lord," really encapsulates the sphere of obedience. For instance, if I were to tell my children, "You know those little friends you have on the playground? We're a little bit short on cash, and I have this crack cocaine here. Do you think you could sell it for Daddy and make some money to help Daddy make the mortgage payment?" I mean, they could say no. If your parents ever tell you to sin, you can and you should tell them no, because you should always obey Christ in the Lord. Now people will take that exception clause and just run with it. You know, like you'll have a, you know, somebody just came back from camp and they'll be reading their Bible triumphantly on the couch, and their mom will call them to take out the trash, and they'll say, "Mother, how dare you interrupt my communion with the Lord? Can't you see I am praying? Take the trash out thyself, thy mother." Right? Is that what you should do? No, if you are reading the Bible and communing with the Lord and honoring Him, you shut the Bible, you take out the trash, because that is a form of worship as well. You know, your parents don't necessarily are trying to just spoil your fun. It is very rare, if ever, that your parents will ever ask you to do something for them. That is clearly sin. So the form of worship is to honor them and to obey them. Now let's say one of your friends takes that Beastie Boys song to heart. He's memorized the entire words, and he parties, and he actually fights for his right to party by defying his parents, by challenging them, by sneaking out at night. He chronically disobeys, he gets drunk, he's just a lazy bum. So your parents go to the church, and they say, "What should we do? We have a wicked and lazy son here. Does the Bible have any instruction for us?" And the elders go to Deuteronomy 21, 20, and verse 21, and they read the following. "They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. You shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear." Now let's say the elders took that to heart. They took him out to that pasture over there. They all got some rocks. And they took that wicked, lazy son, and they stoned him to death. Now, if you go back home with your parents, and your parents say, "Hey, would you mind doing the dishes for us?" You get up, and you do it right away. See, obedience is serious business. And we look at this and we think, you know what, this is just extreme. I mean, come on, disobedience to parents? I mean, it's not like I'm killing anyone. I'm not like those Columbine kids, you know, who just went and just shot up everyone. I mean, I'm really not that bad. But you see, God has a special hatred of disobedience, and I'll prove it to you. You look at, let me find it really quickly, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. We'll just do a little survey of all these awful, terrible sins that we find in the Bible. In verse 1 we read, "But realize this, then the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents." Did you catch that? Disobedient to parents. And then goes on, "ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness they have denied its power." One of the ways that people are described as wicked in the last times is being disobedient to parents. You see, not picking up the trash, not calling in on curfew, not turning off the TV when asked, talking back to your parents, not cleaning up your room when asked, that is an offense that's not worth, you know, that goes beyond deserving to, you know, have your text message taken away or not having access to your PlayStation or your Wii. It goes beyond being pelted by stones. I mean, that is a sin against the high and holy God. And unless it's repented of, it is worthy of the lake of fire, of a dastardly place called hell where all will pay for their sin. Obedience to your parents is not a light matter. It is something we should take extremely seriously. And even though MTV is teaching you that that is not necessary, it is vitally necessary because the Word of God says so. But you must not only just obey your parents, you must honor your parents as well. Look at verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. Now, this term honor kind of has an archaic ring to it. But when you look at it, there is an element of an internal disposition of reverence. Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father. To honor is to revere and fear, to hold them in high esteem. It really is an attitude of just respect. In Proverbs 31:28, we read, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her. You see, when you look at respect and honor, that is something that you can't necessarily contrive. Like if my parents, asked me to take out the trash, I said, I'll take out the trash, and I'll take you out. I'll do all that stuff to you. I can't believe you're talking. Yeah, I'm taking out the trash, right? Technically, I'm being obedient, right? You can force obedience, but you can't force honor, can you? See, obedience is external. Honor is internal. Honor is an inward attitude of respect. God just doesn't want external actions. He wants your heart to really value your parents as he honors them. I know from experience that it was easy for me to, let's say, obey my parents, but not to honor them. I was to obey my parents would be to do what they say. To honor them is to talk well of them when they're not around. Often we would have family discussions with my parents not there. We would belittle them, make fun of them. I'd complain about my parents to my friends. And when I did that, I might have been obeying them, but I certainly wasn't honoring them. So do you honor your parents? Do you roll your eyes or give the air brakes? You know what I mean by air brakes? Whenever they tell you what to do. Right? Do you obey promptly on your own time so your parents know who's boss? Do you call to check in, letting them know where you are when you're out, seeking their permission? Do you honor them by opening up to them? When your mom, and this is for all you teenage sons out there, ask you, how was your day? Do you just give one-word answers like good? Fine. How do you feel? Hungry, right? I mean, when you only give one-word answers, you know what the message that you're giving is, I don't want to talk to you now. And that is disrespectful. That is dishonoring. Do you open up to them? Are you critical of what they do? Are you really critical of your parents and just compare them to other parents and then just rip them down? Are you grateful of the things that they have done for you? Do you thank them when they take you out to dinner? Or better yet, do you ever take them out to dinner? Do you take advantage of them financially? You only talk to them when you need money, and that's the only time you don't call collect, although call collect is kind of out of fashion now. You just borrow somebody's cell phone. Do you trust them? Do you believe that the rules are the best? Have you ever thought about staying home on a weekend night to spend time with them instead of your friends? Do you make a big deal out of Mother's Day and Father's Day? Are you quick to accuse your parents of wrongdoing? Do you talk back to your parents? Do you yell at your parents? And here's one. Are you easily embarrassed by your parents? Do you go to them for counsel? Before you go to your friends, do you try to hide your life from them? You see, you can tell if a person really loves God by whether or not they love the authorities that God has placed in their life. If God tells you to honor your mother and father, he's saying, you honor me by honoring your mother and father. When he says, obey your mother and father, he is saying, you obey me by obeying your mother and father. You could talk about what a great spiritual walk you have with the Lord, but if you are not obeying and honoring your parents, that shows your true heart. That's one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up again. If you're really changed by camp, if you've really been transformed, it will manifest itself in obvious ways in your relationship to your parents. You see, to really honor them and to really obey them, the fundamental change has to occur in your heart where you see them as a blessing. In verses 2b through 3, we read, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So Paul makes an observation, and he quotes the fifth commandment. And he says that the fifth commandment is the only commandment with a what? A promise. Let's look at this promise. Deuteronomy 5:16, this is where Paul quotes from. It reads as follows: "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you." Paul quotes this passage verbatim with the exception of the reference to entering the promised land. Obviously, it's the church, it's different than Israel, so he's not making a land promise here. He's making a spiritual promise. And he gives a generalization for all Christians. When you obey your parents, you'll receive two blessings. You will live longer, and you will live well. When I tell my children to not stick their tongues in the light socket, a blessing will happen. They will live beyond the age of one, right? When I say, you know what, the turnpike is not a great place to play catch, they will live longer. See, a father might warn his children of the dangers of chain smoking and alcohol addiction and sins pertaining to sex. And if a son disregards that advice, his lifespan will shorten. But even if it doesn't, if you're a chain-smoking alcoholic, it won't be well, right? You won't have the good life which God wants for you. He will not enjoy the rich blessing of parental wisdom and oversight. He will have no peace. You see, undisciplined children become what? Undisciplined adults. They'll not be able to hold jobs. They'll not have an effective ministry. And they will have terrible marriages because they never learn to obey. When we obey the precepts of the Bible, we trust God. We trust that a kind, compassionate, and caring God wants what is best for us. And you trust that this kind, compassionate, caring God who sent his Son to die on the cross to cover our sins will freely give us all things, and that he wants to bless us. And he wants to bless us through our parents. See, honoring and obeying your parents will extend your years. It'll make it well. It'll help your marriage. It'll help your job. It'll help your service at church. They'll warn you of dangers at every turn. And when they see your attitude taking a turn for the worse, they will correct it because they want you to have a respectful, honoring attitude, which will incidentally help you go far in whatever job you have, right? Respectful, kind, diligent workers shine like the stars of the universe, and they go far. When they see your friends having a destructive influence, they will warn you. If they detect laziness and underachievement, they will address it so that you don't become some kind of bum. See, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but my parents were still a blessing. My mom talked to me when I was a teenager. It was a very awkward conversation, but she talked to me about how it's important to wait till I'm ready to have kids before I engage in intimacy. I said, "Thank you, Mom. Can I go now?" And that thought, as a non-Christian, realizing the responsibility that would be involved, kept me pure until I became a Christian when I had a different motivation. My dad actually made a contract with me, and he told me that if I did not drink alcohol or experiment with drugs, at the age of 21, I'll have to look him in the eye, and if I can say I never did that, he will give me $1,000. And granted, it wasn't necessarily the $1,000 that kept me on the straight and narrow. It's the fact that I'd have to look my dad in the eye and tell him that. And then I became a Christian at 19 and had a different motivation for doing those things. See, my parents, even as non-Christians, were a blessing to me, and those blessings carried over into my Christian life, and they helped me greatly. You know, God will bless you through your parents if you look to them to do so. So in light of this, a lot of the numerous blessings that parents offer us, why is it that we don't obey them or honor them as we should? Well, there's a few reasons. One, you are wise in your own eyes. You honestly believe that you know more than they do. Mark Twain once said, "When I was 14, my father didn't know anything. But by the time I turned 21, I was amazed at how much the old man learned in 7 years." Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." See, being wise in your own eyes makes you a fool. You deny wisdom, you deny knowledge, and you just choose your own foolish ways. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." If you're wise in your own eyes, you have bigger problems than just disobeying your parents. Secondly, you don't respect your parents. You might think, if I had Jennifer's parents, then I could respect them. My parents are lazy Christians, if they're Christians at all. But you have to remember, who gave you your parents? Who gave them to you? The Lord did. Your parents are a gift specifically from the Lord. And God has a different lesson for everyone to learn from each parent that they have. So what do you do if your parents are disobedient? Because some are. I mean, let's face it. We live in a society where husbands run off on their children. Yeah, there are broken marriages. There are abusive fathers and abusive mothers, either verbally, physically, or sexually. What do you do? Well, in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2, Paul gives an instruction to wives of disobedient husbands, which I think is appropriate to apply to children with disobedient parents. In the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. You are to honor them, you are to respect them, you are to show that Christianity is a great and glorious truth that transforms your lives. And as they see the changed life in you, may that lead them to repent and embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior, or to rededicate themselves. Thirdly, your parents may have hurt you. They may have done wicked things to you, and I have no doubt that that has happened to some people in this room. They may have abandoned you, they may have exploded in anger, they may have cussed you out, they may have said things to you that have just wounded your soul. You know, this is difficult. This is difficult for anyone, and whenever you face any kind of situation like that, you have two choices. You can grow in bitterness, or you can learn to forgive, right? You can learn to forgive. In Titus 1, 1 through 3, or Titus, we'll do verse 3. Paul reminds us, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." You know, let's be honest. We're all pretty wicked. If we go to our core, we have all done wicked things. At some point in time, when you have parents, you'll probably be humbled at something that you say or do to your kids, and you just hope that they will forgive you for what you've done. We live in a flawed and imperfect world, and people do wicked things to each other, but the response that we must have is to forgive them. Your parents probably know that they blew it. So give them the same grace you would hope your kids would give you when you blow it in the future, and count on it. Count on it. And then remember Stephen. Stephen, who is being stoned by wicked men, and the love he had for them when he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He died forgiving his persecutors. Now, Stephen could do that if Christ could forgive those people who crucified him on the cross. Then the godly thing to do is to forgive those parents who have hurt us. And finally, I want to give a word to parents. We live in a day and age where we almost have child-centered parenting, where we want more than anything for our kids to like us. Some people respond against maybe their authoritarian upbringing and try to be a buddy to their kids, and when their kids disobey, they might think it's kind of cute. you know, come here, Johnny, and he just kind of smiles and dances in the doorway, and you think, oh, that Johnny, he's so cute. But when you don't do anything about that, when you just let that happen, you might as well let your kids snort heroin, right? You might as well let them play in the freeway, because those things will be just as damaging. Obedience to your parents, when you give a command, if they don't obey you and you don't do anything about it, you're paving the way to hell for your children. Those are strong words, aren't they? But if you let your children perennially disobey you and defy you, you are basically coaching them to continue to do that to the divine authority of God. Obedience to you as a parent is not optional. And you might feel like, I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want to be abusive. Then don't. Don't be the bad guy. Don't be abusive. Do it in a loving, tender way, appealing to this verse. Telling your children, you know what? God has commanded me to command you to obey me. And as much as this hurts me to do, to honor God and to bless you with a long life and to live well, I must exercise this form of discipline. And you fill in the blank. Whatever works for your family works for you. But by all means, do not let obedience slide. Don't let your children's affection for you, don't let the fact that your parent, that your children call you the meanest parents in the world stop you from doing the right thing. Because when they grow older and they receive the blessing of a long life, when they receive the blessing of living well, and when they receive the blessing of a high view of God, they will praise you at the gates. So here's a question. Do you honor and obey your parents? I recall when I became a Christian, I was a pretty zealous evangelist, and to be honest, I was very argumentative, very obnoxious, very disrespectful of my parents, somewhat resentful that I did not have the Christian upbringing that maybe some of my friends had, and I was a terrible witness to them. And here I was leading Bible studies, sharing the gospel, and my Bible study leader, I remember, is at Mrs. E's cafeteria at KU, called me out. He said, Dave, you're not going to go any farther until you deal with your parents. And he was right. He was absolutely right. So I got on the phone and I called my parents and I talked to each of them individually, and I apologized to them. I just said, I have been disrespectful and dishonoring, and I kind of elaborated on some of the details, which I think I blocked out. And I asked for their forgiveness. And that was the first step to really restoring that relationship. A few years later, I had a chance to go to Hungary as a missionary, which was really my parents' worst nightmare. They kind of saw my wanting to go into full-time ministry as a rejection of the life that they wanted for me. And it just kind of struck me that by me doing this, that they were sensitive to that. And so by God's grace, my family relocated to Idaho, and I planted many trees. I did a lot of landscaping for them. I take my mom out on dates. I try to spend time with my dad. And they went from opposing my trip to Hungary to being the biggest supporters of it. They began to see that Christianity was actually a good influence on me. It wasn't something that was driving me away from my parents. It was something that was driving me to them. That I was becoming a good son, crafted and molded by the word of God, giving them more honor and more respect. See, and that's hope. For those of you who don't have Christian parents, I want to encourage you to apply this to yourself. For you adults out there who, even though you don't have to obey your parents, you still have to honor your parents. In the twilight years of your life, seek them out. Seek to honor them. Be a witness to them. Thank them for all the things and the blessings that they have given you. May God's grace really prevail in us, that we'll all be examples, even to our children, of how to revere and respect parents. Let's pray. Father God, I do come before you, and Lord, I thank you for my parents. What a wonderful blessing they have been to me. Lord, I am truly unworthy of them, and forgive me for all the times I disobeyed them and dishonored them. And I pray for everyone here that we will really have a grid that really appreciates and honors and reveres and respects our parents, not because they're worthy per se, but because you're worthy. You are worthy of all praise and glory and obedience. And Lord, we know that in your providence and in your sovereignty, you have given our parents as a gift. And may we treat them so. In Christ's name, amen.
We'll go ahead and stand up and we'll close with another song.
Dismissed.